I own silver!
You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger. Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. This is what you are about to hear today on Abounding Grace, part two of a message that we aired yesterday, beginning the plagues as our study in Exodus. Beginning the first part here, what is really the prologue, as Aaron casts down his rod and it becomes a snake, and it gobbles up all the snakes of Egypt. What did that mean? Why did that happen? What was the great story that was being told? We're looking at that today on Abounding Grace Radio. What a glorious message this is of our deliverance and the victory that can be yours, dear listener, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you have him. I hope you know him. I hope you've trusted in him and believed his gospel. It's the only way you will escape from the judgment and the wrath to come. And that's why we have preachers today announcing that you should believe and turn to Christ and know peace and joy in this life. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. We have a Facebook page. Type in Abounding Grace Radio. We'd love for you to comment there. Tell us how these programs are a blessing to you. Apps on your phone that you can download Abounding Grace Radio with and take it with you wherever you go for your iPhone or your Android. Well, thanks again for tuning in to Abounding Grace. Here is part two of the message that we started yesterday from Exodus chapter 7. It's time to pick a fight. If you were ever bitten by a snake, the magicians were called in and they would perform all sorts of magic to try to cleanse the person from the bite. People really feared the snakes in Egypt. Serpent worship dominated the Nile. There were all sorts of these serpent gods in the Nile that they worshipped. Even today, temples have been found in Egypt where the Egyptians worshipped, and you have all the images, which I've captured for you, of these serpent gods. Wadjet was the serpent goddess of Lower Egypt, and she was a rearing cobra who was known as the great protector of Pharaoh. Think about this. Ready to strike and to kill all his enemies. And I've said this before, when Moses walked in and they gazed upon Pharaoh, that's what they saw on his crown. Don't mess with me. Wadjet will strike you if you talk to me irreverently. They would have seen that massive image of Wadjet right on the crown. And lo and behold, it's that Pharaoh adopts for himself on his crown, a cobra as the symbol of his authority. This was a way not only of making people fear him, but it was a way of trying to instill all kinds of fear in any of his enemies. Remember, Pharaoh was a god in Egyptian religion. This is how the Egyptians worshiped this god, as the defender of Pharaoh, who would literally strike venom, put venom, death venom into his enemies. Israel knew about all these snake gods. You had Renenutet. This god was a fire-breathing cobra who was the protector of Pharaoh's clothes. and in constant pursuit to instill fear into his enemies. One of the Ramses was even said to have created this serpent god. None of them was really as powerful as Apep or Apophis. He was the serpent god who personified evil and, listen to this, was known as holding the power of darkness, represented as a giant black hole who, and I quote, swallowed his enemies into non-existence. Held the power of natural disasters, storms, earthquakes, solar eclipses. The kingdom was dominated by snake gods, one of which swallowed all the enemies. When Pharaoh took the oath of office, by the way, let me read you his oath of office, which they have dug up. Listen to this. This is what he would say in his oath of office. O great one, O magician, O fiery snake, let there be terror of me like the terror of thee. Let there be fear of me like the fear of thee. Let there be awe of me like the awe of thee. Let me rule a leader of the living. Let me be a powerful leader of spirits. An Antichrist kingdom running its course, a cycle of iniquity. It helps us a little bit with something like Revelation 12, doesn't it? That serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. Interesting how Ezekiel described Pharaoh. Ezekiel 29, speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great Tanin, serpent, who lies in the midst of his rivers, who has said, my river is my own. I have made it for myself. I'm putting hooks in your jaws. Can you picture this now? Aaron comes in the royal palace. Imagine all the servants working, bowing. He comes in the royal palace and he grabs a rod. Moses says, throw it down. And he casts the rod on the ground, and there it becomes a serpent. That's a challenge. That's the greatest provocation you could give in Pharaoh's kingdom. Time to pick a fight. One pastor said it would be like walking in the White House and carrying in a bald eagle and wringing its neck. You think that'd go over? No, the environmentalists would take you down. We don't have to worry about the president. At the beginning of Genesis, Satan had entered into the garden and become a serpent to Eve, deceiving her. God cursed him. Remember what he said? You are more cursed than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall lick dust all the days of your life. I remember years ago, Darcy told me that when she attended USC, one of her professors told her, and they were studying the skeletal structure of the snake, and one of her USC professors told her that you can tell that one day that thing walked. It has a skeletal structure so that at one time you know it had legs. God put it on the earth and made it lick dust in the curse. Now God comes into Satan's den. Think about this. God sends his prophet right on into Satan's kingdom. Think of the garden. God returns it. Walks right on into Satan's kingdom and casts down a cursed snake on the ground that licks the dust. Right in front of Pharaoh. The Lord just laid claim to whatever they believed about the power of the snake, and I could have titled my message, Lord of the Snakes, couldn't I have? Pharaoh had adopted this as Egypt's greatest symbol of power. God comes and assaults it. directly assaults the whole kingdom of Pharaoh with the very symbol of his sovereignty. So what happens? Well, you could call it kind of hand-to-hand combat. Pharaoh starts speaking. Verse 11. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. Each man cast down his staff, and they became, notice the plural here, serpents. We tend to look at these and wonder about what really happened there. These were Pharaoh's prophets. Moses has his prophet. Pharaoh now calls in his. Literally, his soothsayers. They were magicians in Egypt. We kind of think of them as just being able to do really neat magic tricks. They were held in such regard in Egypt. I can't emphasize that enough. They were held in such regard in Egypt by the ability to cast spells on people. They were thought to have been able to control humans and nature and even the gods. I picked up a controversial work this week called The Golden Bough. It's a comparative study of religion and magic. And I was curious what they said about Egypt, ancient Egypt. This is what they said. This is what we know about Egyptian magicians. Egyptian magicians believed they could appropriate the power of a god by possessing his name. If you possess the name of a true god, thus, the art of the Egyptian magician consisted in obtaining from the gods a revelation of their sacred names. And then they believed they had his power. Now, does that help you see why Pharaoh had a little bit of fear of Moses? Whose name did he come with? Yahweh. Pharaoh knew in his own theology, this is why God said, I'm making you as God to Pharaoh, with a prophet. Pharaoh knew in his own theology that if a man came in claiming the name of a god, it had to be validated. Watch out if it was. He came in announcing, thus says the Lord, the holy name. In that culture, to possess the name of a god meant you came with the power. The Lord used that. That's why Moses wasn't so quickly struck down, by the way. That's why Pharaoh had some amount of fear, by the way. Kind of like Pilate before Jesus, when he said, where have you come from? And Jesus was silent. You'll notice they did according to their enchantment or secret arts. They cast down their rods, they became serpents. I always struggled, was that real? What always amazed you about magicians? They didn't just do that, did they? I mean, that's the sense you get. You're amazed at what enchanters and magicians and these guys can do. Satan's a knockoff artist. Satan's a knockoff artist. But it wasn't just a magic show. What have you learned in Corinthians? That behind every idol is what? A real god. I mean, a real demon. Not a true god, a demon. And this is the way the scriptures present idols throughout. Idol's nothing, an idol's nothing. An idol can't speak, an idol can't talk, but what is behind it is real. You remember that the New Testament picks up on the names of these two prophets in Egypt as Jannes and Jambres, as the ones who resisted Moses. They were prophets, and what they did was they resisted the truth. How so? Men of corrupt minds disprove concerning the faith. Their folly will be manifest to all. the way it shows up today is with false ideas that come as truth. They resist the truth. They present alternate ways, alternate ideas, alternate theologies. And that's why we need a church generation that's willing to be bold and not cower and say that everything in the name of Jesus is okay, which is what we're doing today. Come on. But here's the scene. Can you imagine the moment for Pharaoh? Their gods in the form of serpents. Notice serpents is plural, meaning probably in front of them would have been Renenutet, the fire-breathing cobra, the protector of Pharaoh's clothes, Wajit, a coiled cobra, one who was poisoned all their enemies with blindness. That was another one I didn't mention. The great protector of Pharaoh is right there. And then the worst, Apep, who was said to have existed from the beginning of time, who would exist forever, ruthless as a black hole, the embodiment of evil, who literally swallowed up into a black hole all the enemies of Egypt. All of a sudden, this once rod become a snake. I don't know what it must have looked like. Was it a big gulp? Was it a slow? I'm thinking just like you see on National Geographic when these snakes open their big mouths and swallow up something and you can't believe it swallowed that, right? I'm thinking it was a slow, painful swallowing right in front of Pharaoh. And the thing went to each snake and gulped it up. What do you think Pharaoh felt? It had just been proclaimed, the Lord is God, the true God of heaven and earth, to whom all must bow, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The scriptures all over present him as the only true God, Lord over all. Psalm 96, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods, for the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. By swallowing them up, something really powerful was communicated. For the Egyptians, to swallow up something as Apep could do was to assume all the power of the thing that was swallowed. It was to declare sovereignty and power over the object, the God. Now let me begin to help us with the bigger picture. Think of how the Lord is presented when they come out on the other side and Pharaoh and all of his hosts go through the middle of the Red Sea. What happened to them, boys and girls? Let me use the language of Moses when he sang a song right after. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, you stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. See why I said it's a prophetic imagery here and picture of the final story? God announced the triumph. He will swallow them. How does it end? Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. We're just getting started. The bigger picture is this. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Take that rod, Aaron, and cast it on the ground. And then it swallows up the enemies. There was an event in Israel's history later in Numbers that I believe directly tied to all of this that they should have known about. Remember what happened? Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. There came all the Egyptian gods that they would have seen in Egypt, biting them. And many of the people of Israel died. You really want to go back to that? Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he would take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and put it on a big giant rod, a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. You say, what did that mean? I don't have to give any better interpretation of that than John's gospel. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God brought the battle to us, and he cast down his Son to become what? Cursed. And he came and he confronted on the cross the cursed one, the cursed serpent on the cross, confronted the serpent and crushed his head at Golgotha, which means place of the skull, by the way, and has provided the remedy for whoever believes in him. If the Lord is your God, you have no reason to fear all that's happening. What are you seeing happening in this world right now? Yes, it's hatred against Christians. You're seeing things turn. It's ultimately hatred against him. And he has brought the battle here. His Son came here. When Jesus was here, he went right out into the wilderness for a purpose, to be tempted by the serpent and overcome him. And he stepped forward right to his death. This was a man. He went right to his death and has become the answer to all of our misery. And he will ultimately crush the head of the serpent. Now, this is the confidence that he wants us to have in that project and in this battle. There's two ways you could go. You could harden your heart like Pharaoh and do your own thing, and I'd say, what a tragedy. Or you could realize that the Lord has supplied an answer to us and our children. The Lord has come to deliver us, and he put his Son through that to become the cursed one, that we might be delivered and no longer have to be bitten by these serpents, no longer have to be under their bondage, no longer have to be in this misery. You know what's the most wonderful thing that he has swallowed up? I'll close with this. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? He swallowed up your last enemy so that you will never die and you'll always be with him if you have Jesus. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ. The battle's already over. He's won. He's reigned. And you share in that victory already. Let's live as Christians who believe that and are bold and are confident no matter what's happening in this sad world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us with this section of Scripture and this little entry prologue to the plagues. show us what ultimately is the big story and the victory that is ours in Christ. As the serpent was raised up in the wilderness on the pole, you said all who look to Jesus and believe will be saved. Thank you for announcing that to us. Thank you for giving us that victory and that we don't have to fear no matter what happens in this sad world. The battle is yours. The victory is yours. And all of your promises are yes and amen. So we're already reigning with the victorious one. Bless us and encourage us this day in your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.